Okay, so as I said, last week we started my little mini-series on the Holy Spirit, and last week we looked at who he is, and we reminded ourselves that he is a person. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He's not the poor relative in the Trinity, but actually he's as relevant and as important as God the Father, God the Son, and so we looked at that, and we looked at the role that the Holy Spirit has as well, the way that he convicts people of sin, the way that he changes our hearts and he equips us to do the work of God. He challenges us and he challenges our behaviour, and he gives us the gifts that we need to build up the church, which is what I shall look at next week. And he produces fruit in our lives, and it's a fruit that people see. And so this morning, I just want us to focus a little bit on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure already your minds are going to, oh yes, Galatians 5. So yes, you're right, Galatians 5. So if you want to have a look at it, it's Galatians 5, verses 19 to 24. So if you want to find that in your Bibles or on your phones. Oh, actually, I think I've got the wrong. Sorry. I'm looking at the wrong. Yeah, that's, yes, that's, sorry, thank you, Barbara. Okay, so it says from verse 19, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labour pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance I don't know how else to help you. Tell me..." Oh, no, sorry, I'm still reading the wrong bit. That's why I'm looking at the wrong chapter. I'll look at the right chapter and read that now. Thinking, no, this isn't right. It's been a long weekend. Let me tell you, if what I say makes sense this morning, that's definitely God. Okay, so from verse 19 in chapter 5... "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." So there we see two contrasts, don't we? We see the contrast of how we, if we're living our lives in our own way, in our flesh, the sort of things that we would see and that are there. But then we've got the almost the opposite, the antidote to that in the fruit of the Spirit. And we try sometimes, don't we, to change things in our own strength. But actually what we need is the Holy Spirit living in us to be able to work that fruit in us. But before we look a bit more closely at this passage, I just want to take just a couple of moments just to think about fruitfulness as a general thing, because if you read your Bible, you will find that theme of fruitfulness runs all the way through the Bible. And actually, we need to go right back to the very beginning, to Genesis 1:24-31, where God gives us an instruction, which is to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, obviously, that is sort of to increase in things, but also that challenge for us as God's creation to be fruitful, because God created us. We are his fruit, if you like, and he has called us to be fruitful in all that we do. And it's something that when we belong to God, it's in our DNA. We are made to be fruitful, and he's given us that capacity. So originally that mandate maybe was for building families and everything, but now it's about being fruitful to build his kingdom. If we read in Psalm 1, he says this: "Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So when we are planted, when we have made that decision to follow Jesus, when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, it's like we are planted in that place. And as we draw on the Holy Spirit, as he flows through us, as he works through us, we begin bearing fruit. Now, Jesus picks up that theme of fruitfulness. A lot of the parables that he uses are about fruitfulness and about seeds and what happens. And in John 15, he goes into more detail about being fruitful. John 15, he says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And then he goes on to say, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." And then right at the end of that passage is where Jesus tells them that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to help them. So in that, we can see that if we want to be fruitful in what we do as Christians, if we want to be fruitful in seeing that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, how do we do that? We have to be connected to Jesus. We have to remain in him. And sometimes, you know, to be fruitful, you do have to prune things. And sometimes that can be very uncomfortable, but it's part of what he does for us to enable us to be fruitful, to be and to produce what he's called us to do. And Paul picks up this language of fruitfulness in various points in his letters. You can read and you'll find that he refers to that. And the fruit of the Spirit, when we see evidence of that fruit, it's a sign that we are a new creation. Because the things that we used to produce in the way that we used to live has now changed. It's like he started to prune us. So those things are beginning to go, and in its place is coming the new growth, that new creation where we begin to bear the fruit that the Spirit gives to us. So if we look at this passage again, we see a list of the fruit that we can expect to see if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And the fruit of the Spirit, they're like the qualities and the characteristics that he cultivates in us to be more like Jesus. Because if we look at all those things that are listed there and we look at Jesus, we see that the way that he lives, the way that he acts with people, the way that he teaches people, it's these here, isn't it? And all his teaching is telling the disciples, you know, you need to love one another. Love's important. We need to have joy, that he can give us peace. All those things, all these fruit that we see here, that the Holy Spirit is talking about, we see in Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to make us become more like Jesus day by day. That's his work in us. Sometimes we think that we have got to make that fruit appear, that it's about what we do. But actually, it says here, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He produces that fruit in us. And while the Holy Spirit doesn't give everybody all the gifts, which we'll look at next week, you know, there's a whole list of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. He doesn't give all of those gifts to everyone. The Holy Spirit gives these things to us. They're all there for us. We need all of them. And the Holy Spirit will bring those about in our lives. It's his will to develop that fruit in us. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that helps us to be like Jesus, not just in what we do, but in what we say as well, how we live out. And it's not accomplished by our willpower at all. It's a work of grace, the Holy Spirit working through us. So how is fruit produced? What has to happen? Well, we read in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says that a seed has to fall into the ground and it has to die. And he uses the example of a grain of wheat to tell us that. And what Paul is saying as well is that we have to die to self. That I always think when we start to talk about dying to self and that all sounds a bit like... But actually, it's a choice. You know, how do we want to live? How do we want our lives to be? Do we want to carry on living without God? Having to face things without him? Having to tackle things, seeing our lives, the difficulties that may come up? Or do we want our lives to be full of these things that we see here? Love, joy, peace, kindness. Now, what sort of life do we want? There's a choice to be made there. But if we're choosing this life that God is offering us, then we need to let go of this old life. That's what dying to self is. It's making that choice and saying, you know what? That's not my life anymore. That's not what I want anymore. That's not how I want to live anymore. I want to put that to one side. Let that be dead to me. This is how I want to live. This is what I want God to do for me. A bit earlier in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul talks about this and he says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So we make that choice, don't we? And then when we do that, his Spirit comes and dwells in us and our lives begin to change. Now, I'm no gardener, as you know. And Mark and I have put various plants in our garden, have not had a clue what they are or how we're supposed to look after them, but by some miracle, some of them do keep coming back. And one of the things that we put in our garden was an apple tree, which Mark had bought for something here, and so we've planted it in the garden and no idea what we're supposed to do with it. And so this apple tree each year gets a bit bigger and we have lots of leaves on it, and sometimes we've had blossom on, so I thought, well, that's a good sign. Blossom means fruit, so we wait for this fruit to come, and we must have had 3 or 4 years where we had nothing. And then we had these two tiny little apples that were on there, and the leaves are looking a bit curly, and this year it's grown a bit bigger and it's actually looking a bit more hopeful, isn't it? I'm sort of thinking that maybe this year we will actually get an apple. Somebody might tell us how we need to make that happen, but I'm hoping. But with all things, with fruit things, there are seasons for that. An apple tree will not produce the fruit on that first year. It was too small that it wasn't ready to produce fruit. There are seasons when we see growth. There are seasons when we begin to see fruit. And there's a season of growth before the apples appear. And it's the same with our Christian life. You know, we don't suddenly become a Christian and then suddenly we're full of joy and peace and hope and everything's brilliant and we have no problems and we're just these shining beacons of light that people see and we're totally transformed. When we make that choice to follow Jesus, that is the start. That's not the end. That's the start of our relationship and our walk with God. We become his disciples and the Holy Spirit starts to work in us and he starts that cleaning process. Some of us grow faster than others. Some of us have a bit of growth and then sometimes we, you know, like on roses, you get these suckers that suddenly appear and go off and start to cause problems. But once we've invited the Holy Spirit in our lives, once we've invited Jesus, we've accepted him, things start to change and we will see these things being produced in our lives because it's a promise. It's a promise. We will see these things. But sometimes it takes a little longer than others. Jesus explains it in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. He said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. For the harvest time has come." It's his work in us. He will cause things to grow. He will produce the fruit in his time, in his way. We don't always understand it, but we need to trust him to know that he has said it and it will happen. So if the Holy Spirit is producing this fruit in our lives, how is it ripened? Well, James tells us that that fruit is ripened through trials and circumstances, through difficult times and when we're under pressure. And throughout the chapter in Galatians, Paul contrast this sinful nature and the spiritual nature as being in conflict with each other. And the only way that we can allow the Holy Spirit to change that is to abandon ourselves and to surrender ourselves to him. So that pruning might seem hard. The things that we're facing, the difficulties we're facing might seem like too much. But actually, it's in those times that we see the most growth and we see that fruit coming to fruition. So are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to do some pruning in our lives? We could ask ourselves, when is it that we need the Holy Spirit to produce love in our lives? When is it that we need patience? When is it that we need to show kindness? It's in those times when we're faced with a situation when perhaps we don't feel like being kind, when maybe somebody's hurt us. It may be when, you know, we've been, I don't know, something's happened, and actually we feel like we almost hate someone, and isn't that when we need the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit of love in us? Unless we find ourselves in these situations, how do we know that the Holy Spirit is actually producing that fruit in us? Let's let him do some pruning in our lives. There's an old story. There's different versions of it, but the one I read, it says that there was an old American Indian, and he's teaching his grandson about life. And he tells his grandson, he says, "There's a fight going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego," he continued. "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And he said, the same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. And the grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? And he simply replied, the one you feed. So, what do we feed in our lives? Do we go our own way, live as we've always lived? Or do we start to discover the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us? Are we going to allow Him to produce that fruit in us? We need to feed that. We need to surrender to Him, allow Him access to our lives. When He challenges us, when He sends that sort of convicting word in our heart where it's almost like He's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Why are you doing that? How do we respond? Do we think, I'm justified in thinking this. Of course I can feel like this. Or do we hear His voice and say, no, I'm going to turn to You. I'm going to hear Your voice. This is where I'm going to feed. This is what I'm going to encourage. There's a challenge there for all of us. The Holy Spirit will produce fruit in our lives if we give Him room, if we allow Him to do that, if we allow Him to work in us, if we hear those challenges and we respond to them. If in those difficult times, instead of responding negatively, that we turn to Him and allow Him to do something in us. So challenge there for us this morning. You know, let us encourage one another, because we can often see the fruit in each other. Well, if you see that, say to someone, oh, it was lovely yesterday. We were bringing our time together, we'd been praying together, and one of the pastors, and she said, you know what? She said, we just sense the love in this place. And she said, like for me and Mark, she said, oh, we just sense that love that You have for God and that You have for us. And actually, that was really encouraging for us, because we just do what we do, don't we, most of the time. We get on with life, and we're not even aware often that what we're doing is expressing who Jesus is, that we're demonstrating and showing Him through the way that we live. But actually, if somebody does something kind to you, or if somebody, you know, has been patient with you, let's just say, you know what, I really appreciated that you could have really shouted at me, but actually you chose not to, or, you know, you were really patient with me. Because that's the evidence of our relationship with God. That's the fruit of our relationship with Him. So let's encourage each other. Let's look for it. Let's give God the room in our lives to be able to work, to do that pruning, to do that digging, and whatever He needs to do to get our lives to be fruitful for Him. I have got, as a little reminder, because I know that often we go away and we forget what the sermon's been about, but I've got some little cards here that you can just pop in your, look how tiny they are. You can put them in your phone if you've got one of those little things, or in your purses. And just a little reminder, so I don't know if you want to pass those around. It says, it's a little prayer. It says, Father, help me to model godly character, make good work, minister grace and love, mould culture, be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and a messenger of the gospel. Lord, that challenge for us to die to self and to give You free rein in our lives, Lord, sometimes we can struggle with that, because no matter what we say, we like to feel like we're in control. We like to feel like we know best, but actually, Lord, we've proved that we don't know best at all, and that we need You in our lives. We want to see You working in us, Holy Spirit. We want You to produce Your fruit in our lives. We want to be people that love each other and love our neighbours. We want to be people that are able to be kind, to be patient. We want to be people that are full of Your joy. Lord, that even in those times when things are hard and maybe life seems dark, Lord, that even in those situations we know Your joy. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you work in each one of us? Lord, where we've maybe held back, maybe there are areas in our lives where we haven't surrendered to you, where we've held on. Maybe there are areas where we've become prideful or where we've become hard-hearted in with certain situations. Would you come and would you move in us? Would you challenge us in those areas where we need to change? Would you show us where you want us to surrender more to you? And Lord, as we do that, would you fill us again with your Spirit? Would you use us? Lord, would you help us to be fruitful, not just as individuals, but as a church? Lord, may we be a church that produces fruit. Lord, because we ask it in your name. Amen. Thank you.